We're now live.
Oh, welcome everybody to the special meeting for January 13th, 2021. I'm just going to call this meeting into order and then do a roll call. So I'm going to start with Joshua Scove.
Here.
And Don Norden.
Here.
Stephen Yett.
Present.
Carl Ye.
Here.
And Emily Secord. And if Emily jumps on, we will make a note of that. And Caitlin Vargas is present. So thank you all for being here today. And we will make sure that we're keeping an eye on the clock. And we understand some folks have some different commitments that will have them hop off early. So is Jennifer on yet?
I just left a meeting in which Jennifer was the trainer. So I think she could be having technical difficulties switching over, but that's the reason I switched over right in time.
Yeah, I don't see her just yet.
Also, thank you for bearing with me as I figure out how to say the right things for these meetings and do things in the right order. So I always appreciate suggestions and advice and feedback and folks jumping in where they need to jump in. I am going to make lots of mistakes, so just expect that. And this is where we find out how much I never listen to Carl. Sorry.
Well, so far you're doing beautifully and mistakes just come with the territory and we're all in this together.
Thank you.
You know, Caitlin, I never did anything right anyway. So, you know, you're just carrying on the tradition.
I do want to say something. Kristen, is she coming on board? I was hoping she didn't think it was a 5:30 meeting, but she.
Yeah. Okay. There she is. Here I am. Well, hello, everybody. Oh, sorry to interrupt, so I'll wait to my turn.
It actually is your turn. We are at the starting point, but Jennifer, real quick, welcome and thanks for the time. And I just wanted to let you know, Don has a Lane Axe meeting, so he's going to have to hop off this at about 5:20, maybe 5:25. And Joshua also has a 6 o'clock, so he would have to be done a little bit before 6. So when they disappear, I didn't want you to say, uh-oh, who did I offend? It's not that. They just have other commitments.
Oh, that is fantastic. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. All right. Thank you all for doing your productive conflict assessments. Very, very interesting. So we all should have gotten at least 2 reports. Josh, actually, I need to send you a supplemental report for you. Because I don't have that just yet, but I will send that to you. But everybody else, we're going to talk about it. I want to show you first, let me share my screen here. There we go. Let's show you some of our results first. This is who you all are. We're going to talk about the different styles, but I want to show you right here, right now. We have an interesting smattering. We have an interesting smattering. Look at that. At least 4 of you have this strongly inclined D style. 2 of you are on the S. That means you're arch enemies. So awesome. And then we have the C style right here. Oh, by that person's self trying to keep everything together. So awesome. Now let's see who is who. And I will share this big chart with all of you after the meeting. I'll email it out. And this is the team view. This is something that might be helpful. When you're talking with somebody who you feel like is making you crazy, referring to this might help you understand why they are making you crazy. And this tells us who everybody is. So Kristen, interesting. You're right there on the line there, D and I. AJ Moore, S style. Don, our other S, but C style also, that's excellent. Emily, whew. Hardcore D style, Emily, excellent. So I'll try and talk fast, Emily. For my D styles, they'd rather just have the information than without the meeting.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know why you're talking, Jennifer, right? Okay. And I styles, you're interested. Generally, C styles like the data And S Styles, we're just glad to get more the opportunity to get to know each other better. All right. Josh, also very similar to Kristen, this highly inclined D and I style. Caitlin, very strong D also. And Carl, look at you, you're our C style. Now, this isn't the end of the story. You all have your dots. And while we're looking at this chart, let me tell you a little bit about what this is. So there are four categories of people, but you all aren't just one thing. Even though your big reports said, here's your dot style and it places you on the disc on a particular place, that's where we start. But the rest of your story, the rest of the dot story comes from your umbrella graph, which is that supplemental report. Caitlin, do you mind if I use yours as an example? Can I put your supplemental up?
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Okay, wonderful, thank you very much. So let's see, I think I'll pick, let's see if it's this one. So this is, all of you got a supplemental report, which was only 3 pages. First page is a cover, second page is the page that matters. Page 3 just has some definitions, you can look at it or not. But page 2, here is the magic. For your supplemental reports, this is what you want to focus on. This graph over here shows, it's called an umbrella graph, and it shows your whole story. You aren't just one place. You have layers of your personality that reach into all of the different quadrants in different levels, different layers. All of your umbrella graphs look different. Right? All of your umbrella graphs look different, but this happens to be Caitlin's. So even though Caitlin's dot, if we look at her dot, which is right here, it's bottom row, second one over, Caitlin's dot looks like a strong D. Her umbrella graph tells me that she absolutely reaches into the I style. She dips into the C land. She's got a little bit of S over here, but it tells me there's a lot more to her communication style and how she approaches the world, which is really, really helpful when we're working with each other.
Jennifer, I'm just gonna pause you real quick. I just wanna make note that Emily Secord has joined the meeting.
Thank you.
Welcome, Emily. Okay.
Hey, Emily, hi. All right. Now on the bottom of page 2 of the supplemental report, Emily, we're just looking at the supplemental because it's the rest of the dot story. And we're looking at Caitlin's right now. Top is umbrella graph. This number 2 middle part of your page 2, that shows you questions that you answered in a way that are different than we would expect from someone with your dot placement. So Caitlin was a strong D, and we don't expect strong Ds to answer the questions listed here in the middle the way a strong D would. But the answers here in the middle page that are identified as 2, that helps us understand the umbrella graph. Because she answered them that way, that's why her umbrella graph has the shape it has. But then the last piece of information is down here at the bottom. This is a bar graph. And some of your reports have some what's called extra shading. There's always this little colored portion that surrounds 3 words. For Caitlin, it's control, justification, and objectivity. Those for a D style, those are the things that matter most to Caitlin. But Caitlin's style actually, in a different type of assessment, has another area that's shaded, like hatch mark shading. Some of you may have that. That's called a second priority. Sometimes you might have 3. It's not better to have 1 or 2 or 3. It doesn't matter. It just shows us the layers of you. But what's interesting on this, and for your productive conflict, all of you will have similar words around your disc here on the bottom of your page 2, your supplemental report. All of you will have the same bar graph labels here. And what this is telling you is when you approach the world, what do you lead with? When you don't even think about it, you just go through the world, not giving another thought. How do you lead? And for Caitlin, justification is the big one. How she communicates, how she interacts, how she makes her decisions. She wants to be able to justify why she's doing it, why it makes sense, and maybe the path forward. And we know that that makes a lot of sense too, given also where her dot placement is, which we're going to talk about in a second. But justification, and you'll see her other things are, you know, somewhat high. I would say if any of your bars on your bar graph cross this first line in here, if anything crosses that line or comes up right to it, those are your priorities. That's what you lead with. When you don't ever think about it, that's your go-to. Anything that's below this line down here, from the first line from the bottom, this lower line down here, anything below that, those are things that take a lot more effort. You can absolutely do it. It's just going to be frustrating, or it's going to take a lot of emotional energy to do it. And you just got to know yourself and say, okay, if I'm going to do that, I got to really pay attention and focus on it. So reassurance, harmony, stability. Caitlin doesn't lead with that. Doesn't mean she can't offer it. She can. It's just, she's got to think it through and say, uh-oh, this moment requires this of me. And then she's going to be great. But it's about knowing yourself, what your potholes are in front of you when you're interacting with a group. And so this group, because we have people all over the place, you've got to make compromises. How you're approaching your board conversations is not how everybody else is approaching them. Sure, it looks like you're in pairs. And Stephen, I'm not sure where you are on here, but really just looking at this, there's only one other person in the room who's gonna see it the way you see it. My DIs will see it the same. My two Ds are gonna see it the same. My Ss will have some things in common. Carl, I don't know, I think you're alone out there. But that matters because, you know, we're making arguments and we're offering information and we're laying out pros and cons and we're laying out options in a way that's meaningful to ourselves. Like if somebody laid that out for us, I'd be on board. It would resonate with me. It makes sense. But as long as I'm laying it out as I want to hear it, I'm never going to reach the rest of you because you're not me. You're not me. So if I'm going to share with you, I don't know if you can see it if I use my little mouse here, but if I put a little box over here on the side, I don't know if you can see that. I am a fall off the cliff S style. Okay. I am the furthest you can possibly be, right smack in the center. S style is where my dot is. And the dot, the different quadrants mean different things about us. And we'll talk about that in a second. I've got a chart to show you. It's in your report, so it's not like you won't have it, but I'll just show you where to find it. But if you think about this like a rubber band, okay, think about a rubber band. Looking for a rubber band. Here's one. Okay, I've got a rubber band. Otherwise known as a scrunchie, but whatever. See, that's the blue in me. That's the S in me. Okay, rubber band. A rubber band, when it's not stretched, it's very relaxed. It's easygoing. It doesn't take any effort for me to do what I need to do. I'm good. But the more I start stretching the rubber band, the more tension there is and the more stressed it gets. The closer your dot is to the center of this disc, the less difficult it is for you to understand the styles around it. Okay, so who is this one closest to our S? AJ. So AJ, if you look at AJ's, hers is top row, second over. Where AJ is, she's closer to the center, all right? Less strongly inclined. That means that she can understand it's easier for her to work in all of the different zones. It's easier for her to slip into I mode, to D mode, and C mode whenever she needs to. Easier for her to do that. If she's not thinking about it, she's going to stay more SI, but it's easier for her to do that. But the further away from the center you are, which is more strongly inclined, the harder it is for you to understand the other styles. So for me, being a fall off the cliff S, it takes emotional effort to understand the Joshuas of the world. Joshua, but you and I, we're like this now. Because Joshua is a strongly inclined DI. So if you imagine where his dot is versus where my dot would be way down here. And his dot, he's got to really stretch to meet me at where I'm at, and I've got to stretch to meet him. It doesn't mean we can't do it. We absolutely can. It's just we have to be make an effort to do it. We have to be thoughtful about it. Hopefully we'd meet somewhere in the middle. But this is one of those areas where if Josh and I just kind of didn't know each other very well, and we really don't, and he and I were just talking, if he just communicated his way and I communicated my way, I would drive him insane. And he'd be like, just tell me what you want, stop talking. And I would perceive him as a bully. Like, wow, you can stop shooting the daggers at me now, I've had enough. And in that moment, we're trying to do something together, but we're just not hearing each other. And we're perceiving it so differently that it's gonna cloud our judgment. So now that I know what Josh is and Josh knows what I am, we can both learn what we need from each other to get to the middle. So we make each other equally crazy, but still productive and can accomplish things. Okay, it's not about catering. It's about finding some compromise and some middle. So some of you, you're on the outer skirt. So you've got to put in a little more effort to meet people where they're at on their other styles. Okay, so closer you are, less effort, less strongly inclined. Further you are away from the center, more strongly inclined, and it just takes more effort and pressure to meet other people where they're at. One of the things I'm going to send out to you is called a group culture report. And this report, close your eyes if the scrolling is going to make you dizzy. But for those of you, Carl, you're going to like it because you're a data guy, I imagine, based on your C style. But I think Emily, too, you might like it. This tells you, you know, percentage, statistically, where do you all fall given your styles? But more importantly, if you're interested, and Caitlin, I'm gonna say definitely for you as the board chair, and then who, Josh, you're the vice president, right? Vice president. You two, this matters most for you, I would say, because this particular report gives you information about how that culture, the culture myth that we have, could impact our results going forward. If we let the D style lead us, and that's all we ever talk about, and that's how we run our discussions and our decision-making, this, for example, gives you information about the advantages of that and the drawbacks of that. It shows you where we criticize, what we reward, and issues to consider. And it has this for every style, this particular report. And that's good. It really just helps, especially for the president and vice president, understand, okay, we've got to find a way for this group to work together so we can capitalize on the advantages of that culture, that the experiences that style brings to this group, while we're trying to minimize those drawbacks of letting that voice dominate our conversations. I hope that makes sense. I think it's interesting for all of you, but Josh and Caitlin, I think you'll find it most useful. All right. So let's dig into one of the reports, a productive conflict report, your reports itself. I just want to walk you through what's in there so you can see it. And then I'm also going to show you a comparison report because I did those for everybody. And it's going to go very fast. And I know, Don, you've got to go. I'm going to send you the reports as well. And hopefully other people can share with you how to review them. They're pretty self-explanatory, the other two. But Caitlin, if you don't mind, I'm going to pull up yours. So you're the president, you got to lead by example. So this is Caitlin's productive conflict report. All of your reports are laid out exactly the same way. It's just the information is different because it's tailored to you individually. Cool. So it talks about conflict, and conflict is, let's just look at conflict as the debate around ideas. Sure, conflict could become very negative and destructive and hurtful, but really look at conflict as we are debating this idea and playing devil's advocate and really vetting ideas together with the shared goal of making it better on the other end. I'm asking questions because I want to make it better. I want to make it stronger. And then it becomes our shared idea and not just one person's idea. So this is helping us understand how you all can have those debates and disagreements and discussions to move your board forward, to come up with those plans of action. All those sorts of things. So every page, every report, your reports tell you about your style. And if you're willing to put in the time, it's important that you customize it for you. So on this page, what you do is you go through and you would cross out anything that is not you. That's not any phrase that's not you, any sentence that's not you. It's like, not me, not me. Customize it for you. And then it's also good if you underline at least three things that are spot on about you. Spot on. And then great if you can share them with other board members, because then they'll know more about you. Once I know more about you, I can learn how to work better with you. So that's on your page three of all of your reports. Page four here tells you what's important to you when you are disagreeing with somebody else, disagreeing with someone else, how you're going to really push and what your priorities are in that conversation. You know, what are you going to go for the win? It tells you what you value. It also points out what drains you. What is going to make you exhausted and make you want to just leave the conversation because you're done? It's important to know those pressure points. So then you can recognize when they're coming up, and you can deal with it instead of blowing up the discussion. Again, here too, cross out the stuff that doesn't fit you. Cross out the stuff that doesn't fit you. Here's the overview of the styles. This is what I wanted to point out to you. So we have two hemispheres. We have the bottom and the top, and then we have the left and the right. That's how we get our quadrants. So the top two colors, D style and I style, they're more fast-paced. More fast-paced. They make decisions quicker. They're bullet point thinkers. They don't want a lot of discussion. They don't want to overthink anything. The D style, the green style, your tendencies, you're very straightforward, you're direct, you're assertive, you're to the point. You acknowledge tough issues straight on. You don't sugarcoat it. Your willingness to have objective debates over things, but you really don't want to get bogged down on the emotions and feelings of stuff. You're just like, let's just focus. Now, sometimes that's perceived as, and these are the tendencies in the corners, the far right corners, destructive tendencies. Sometimes the way you communicate when you feel strongly about an idea, you might revert to becoming very insensitive, whether you meant to or not. You're patient. Why are we talking about this? You create a win-loss situation because you're so focused on results, results-oriented. Refuse to bend, you dig in. And sometimes you tend to overpower other people with your voice or your position. Like, I'm not moving. You bulldoze. Those are destructive tendencies. The things within the disc, perfectly fine. When you cross over, not okay. I styles. You tend to communicate empathy. You show understanding for other people's positions. You encourage people to share their opinions and perspectives. That's how we get a better idea at the end. Because I styles are all about the ideas, creativity. You provide reassurance. You can verbalize emotions better than the D style. But you too, very fast. You don't want to get bogged down on stuff. You're destructive. You cross that line though, and it's not helpful when you become overly emotional. When you talk over people, when you interrupt people, when you're impulsive. The D style and C style hate impulsiveness. Okay, they don't like it. Sometimes I styles gloss over tension. It'll be fine, don't worry about it. We're overly optimistic. We make personal attacks on other people. Now the I styles we have in our group, remember I'm gonna go to our team view. Our I styles are very close to the line. We really don't have any dominant eyes. AJ doesn't go really into I, she's on the cusp there. Kristen and Josh, not really. But what we're going to gather from them is hopefully they can bring that empathy to the conversation and that encouragement of open dialogue. Josh, you got to work a little harder because your D styles are going to have a tendency to shut that down and focus more on the facts and data. And I think for some of the policy decisions you all are making, you have to think about the people. And for that, you need the I voice and you need the S voice. You can't always just be about data. So everybody has a role to play. Okay, so bottom of our sphere here, it's not, top is fast paced, bottom is it's not slow, but it's not quite as fast paced. It's more, let's be mindful, let's be thoughtful, let's think it through. All right. Now on our, before I do my C and S styles, now the two right and left spheres, the D and C spheres over on that side, those are more questioning. They don't want to just jump in feet first. They want information. They want to make sure they're making a good decision. They want data. They want processes to make sure the results will be solid and reliable, dependable. Okay, so they're questioning. On the other side, I and S, more empathetic, more accommodating, more willing to go with the flow. It doesn't mean we don't want data. It just means we're comfortable with putting our trust and faith in the work of others. And we don't have to question every little thing. So both are important. So now C styles are Carls of the world. They bring in, they find the root cause of the problem. They sort out all of the issues, more process oriented. They're able to compartmentalize. They're data oriented. Let's look at this rationally. Let's look at the pros and cons. Let's look at the options and opportunities. Let's have all the information before we make a decision. D styles, by comparison, want to just make a decision. If it's wrong, we'll figure it out and fix it because it's fast paced. C styles say, whoa, let's make sure it's a good decision before we jump in. So C and Ds make each other crazy. Okay. They make each other crazy. They're like, we've already had 5 meetings on this. Can't we make a decision? And Cs are like, well. Mm-hmm. And Cs hate the Ds
so much.
Right. And Cs hate the Ds because Ds are like, this is on my decision. C, make it happen. And C says, I didn't even have a... Now you're going to make me do something when I've already seen all these holes and you wouldn't even listen to me. So we hate that too. So there we go. More arch enemies. Love it. Now our Cs, when you dig in these disagreements or debates, you can become very defensive because you put a lot of work in that data and your decisions and the information you have at your disposal. Sometimes you're a little passive aggressive or a lot passive aggressive. You can become really critical of everybody and all the information that's coming before you. You can isolate yourself or you can overanalyze the situation to death. It's called analysis paralysis. Like we can't ever make a decision because we're afraid it's going to be wrong. Okay. Now S style, that's me. Welcome to my world. You all need me, whether you want me or not. I am here. We are flexible. Now we're on the more thoughtful side and the willing to take people at their word side, not as questioning. We show flexibility. We look out for people's feelings. I might say, I don't care what the data says. I'm telling you it's hurtful. I'm telling you it won't resonate with the people as you think it will. I'm telling you this is how it's going to be perceived from a morale perspective. So what you see on paper isn't going to be the reality we're going to live. So that's what the S brings to the moment. How is this going to play out in the real world? S styles, we tend to communicate more tactfully. We are so focused on not hurting people's feelings. We might sugarcoat. We're going to be more tactful. We will be less direct. And frankly, that makes the D styles crazy. Just tell me. Stop beating around the bush. Just, what is it? I'm like, well, don't well me. Tell me, right? I know Emily's probably not in her head. Mm-hmm. Right. But where
I might have been focused in my head.
Right. We'll listen to others. We'll probably let everybody else talk before we talk. And then when we talk, we're going to say, what I really like about what you said is this and what you said is this. And we're going to acknowledge everybody in the room before we finally get to us. And that again can make people crazy. All right. And we are masters of finding compromise. S style, we find compromises when the rest of you don't want to. And we'll lay them out. So you need your S style. Now our problem as S styles is our destructive tendencies. We've got them too. Sometimes we'll withdraw if the room is becoming too confrontational, or we feel like we're being bullied. We might withdraw. We might give in to others, even though we know what we're about to do is dumb and ridiculous and not going to work. We're going to give in rather than to continue to engage in the negative conflict. We might let issues simmer beneath the surface. We're secretly going to be so pissed. And then that'll come out in other ways. Make no mistake about it, because we S-styles, we're good at that. But we're not really great about just coming right out and saying it. And our goal is to avoid tension, because the more tension and destructive conflict there is, the less problem solving can happen. So we're more likely to de-escalate, find a way to de-escalate so we can all focus on the real issues that need to be solved. Now, the rest of you, even though I'm a strong S, your other S's, Don and AJ, they're not strong S's, right? AJ is not very strongly inclined S. She's there, but not like me. And then who's my other one? Don. Don's still really close to the middle. So I guess good for all of you. You don't have a me wasting your time on this board. But you need me. I am the human element that you are missing. Okay, all right. But make no mistake about it, we make each other crazy. So just a quick tip. The S styles need to focus on the fact that our strong Ds and our Cs need more data and information, and they need straight shooting talk. Just get to the point, lay it out. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't be tactful. Just say it. And say it quickly and as succinctly as you possibly can. With that said, so that would be my Don and AJ, my tip for you in board meetings, to the point, direct, assertive. You're not really gonna hurt people's feelings on this board. For everybody else, communicating with AJ and Don, and Don, you can interrupt me here, and Don, feel free to tell everybody, no, sure, go ahead and hurt my feelings, that's totally fine. Realize you do have humans here. And so for some of you, like my strong Ds, let's see, Josh, Caitlin, and Emily, you are going to need to exercise some tact when you're communicating with S styles, with AJ, with Dawn, with anybody, really. So don't think that you can always just be direct. That's what they can do to come to the middle, but then what are you going to do to appreciate and recognize what they need from you?
Can I ask something really quick?
Yeah.
And Stephen, you don't have to place yourself on here. I just. Thank you, Don. Stephen, you don't have to place yourself on here. I was just curious, how do you like people to communicate to you?
Honestly.
I would play Stephen. If I had to guess, I think Stephen's somewhere around here. I think he's somewhere around a D and a C. Honestly, it's going to be a C style priority. I think probably directly, Stephen. You like direct communication? Oh, you're on mute.
I don't believe we're discussing me right now. I think we're going over the results, aren't we?
Okay, yes. But this is one of, you know, we just try and figure out how we can help each other. But anyway, so D styles, very to the point. You can also tell by emails and communication, it's usually very short. S styles, there's a lot more information around it. C styles, email communications have a lot of data and information. I styles could be really anywhere along the spectrum. All right, now in your report, whatever your style is, it gives you some information about what drives the particular style, and then it compares you. It has the section compared to you. People with the D style tend to be. And then how you can have productive conflict with that style. So like me as an S, I would look at this D page if I want to communicate effectively with Caitlin and Emily and Josh. And I would look at the very bottom. How can I communicate better with you three? I would take turns speaking, avoid talking over you, refrain from getting into a power struggle. These are tips for Caitlin if she's with another D style that you're seeing right here. So if she wants to talk with Emily, Caitlin, you would focus on these three on the bottom. Be willing to compromise, because then you just have two Ds in a power struggle. Now, when Caitlin's communicating with someone in IS style, we really don't have anybody in there, but let's say S and C. How about Carl? Caitlin, when you're communicating with Carl, because he's a strong C, compared to you, it tells you how Carl's priorities are down here, so you can understand it a little better. And then when you're talking with Carl, you'd focus on maybe these three strategies at the bottom. Use reason instead of force. Don't bully, don't push him for quick answers, because Cs need to think it through. Be willing to compromise, even if you reach different conclusions. And then Carl's report will give him suggestions for how to work better with Caitlin. All right. So really good. Each page addresses each style. Then we've got a page here that gives you a summary of the style, like the D styles. What are their goals, their overuses of their tendencies, their fears? Just a quick snapshot. And destructive responses. It gives you some activities, whether you do them or not. And then there's a pretty big section that gives you information about how you're approaching certain types of behaviors when you disagree with people. When you're arguing, when you're belittling people, when you're caving in, when you're defensive. It's really interesting information. So there's a lot of information out there for you to look. So that's going to be your report. This is your regular report that came to all of you. Okay, lots of information. Now I'm going to stop sharing my screen. I'm going to pull up a comparison report because that's the last report I want you all to see. Let's see, information about changing.
Josh, did you feel like your results were, I guess, accurate? I don't know if it's the right word, but.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I've in a variety of work settings and elsewhere, I've been through a bundle of these. So, I mean, not terribly surprised, but I thought this was pretty productive.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for saying that. Thanks for asking, Caitlin. Let's see, Caitlin, who do you want to know about? Pick somebody on the line right now to compare yourself with.
I'm going to still pick on Josh. Okay. We talk a lot.
Oh, good. And president, vice president, you two all got, you two have to get along. So let's see. Oh, and you can't pick Josh because I don't have his report, his comparison report with you yet. Sorry, you got to pick somebody else.
That's fine. I'll pick Emily. Is that okay?
Yes, Emily. All right. Caitlin and Emily. All right. So let me share my screen. You all are going to get comparison reports that will show you how you compare to each. So you'll get one report for each other person. So you'll get a Caitlin and Emily report, Caitlin and AJ report, Caitlin and Josh report. Okay. But all of you will have your name first. So right now I have Caitlin compared to Emily, and you can tell that on your cover page right here. So it might say Josh compared to Emily. Okay. You all get yours tailored to you and your style. So here in the comparison report, again, it's going to give you information about the different styles, just a general, quick, easy chart. Again, active, fast-paced up on the top, questioning, logic focused on our side, accepting on the other side, and then thoughtful, calm on the bottom. Tells you their priorities, what they're motivated by. I mean, this is just a really cool quick cheat sheet. If you can figure out where you think somebody might be, this can be helpful. And it's not to peg them, it's just to try and modify how you're communicating. Content of your message can stay the same, but I'm talking about how I package the message so that it lands how I want it to land with you. So you hear it how I intend for you to hear it, instead of misunderstanding or misperceiving what I just said. But in this comparison report, it uses spectrums. And so for example, this is comparing the styles. This one will show you in a little disc where your dot is and where the other person is. So you two are very similar. Caitlin, you emphasize, Emily, you emphasize, but your order of emphasis is different. What's the motivation for their behavior? Gives you some information about that, but let's look at the spectrums. Here you go, here's the first one. And all of your reports are laid out the same way. So in terms of being skeptical or accepting, skeptical, remember, is on that left side, accepting on the right side, IS versus DC. Interesting. Even though your dots are so close on the disc, let's look at that. Emily, you're right here. Caitlin, you're pretty close. You're still really right there in the green area zone. You two approach this particular tendency differently. In terms of being skeptical versus being accepting, Emily, you're more right in the middle based on how you answered your questions. Caitlin, highly skeptical compared to Emily, highly skeptical. Like you need loads of data. So, and it tells you that you're very skeptical, Emily is somewhat accepting. And this is where you personalize it. Caitlin and Emily, you two would get together, have a conversation over the phone, over Zoom, over coffee, I don't care. But you just take a few minutes and you say, hey, look at this. Is this right or not? So Caitlin would say yes and check whichever of the three boxes are right for you. Emily, you're going to check whichever of the three boxes are right for you. You can check all three if you want. And then how to apply. This, remember, is Caitlin comparing herself to Emily. So it's going to say for Caitlin, how do you apply this? Potential roadblocks when you're working with Emily, Caitlin, are you may think that Emily doesn't ask enough critical questions. Emily may think that you come across as too cynical. Right? So we wouldn't want to necessarily judge Emily for the questions she's asking. That means you're layering you on top of her. We want to accept her for her. Potential benefits. Emily's receptivity may help others feel more comfortable in sharing ideas. That's good for you. And your skepticism may help uncover problems. Good. And then here's some magic tips for working better with Emily. And when you were talking with Emily and having that casual conversation, I'd say, hey, let's take a look at these tips on the bottom of page 4, Emily. Would any of those work with you? Does that seem like any of that would be reasonable to help us get to a middle? And then Emily's going to tell you yes or no. It's helpful or it's not helpful. So Emily, taking a look at this, if I could have you. So with Caitlin working for you, would it be helpful working with you, Emily, if she avoids coming across as critical when you present a new idea? Is that something that would be helpful or not helpful for you?
You know, I just have to say, I think this is pretty situational for me. So I tend to be very easygoing until I am not, and then I'm very skeptical. So I could actually see Caitlin and I flip-flopping this depending on the topic.
And that's perfect feedback. Exactly. Exactly. So that's, Emily, that's what you share. You know, it just kind of depends. Don't think this will always be me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of feedback we're looking for when you all start talking. It might help if you explain your rationale a little bit. Caitlin, if you've got concern, maybe encouraging Emily to share any doubts she has. But Emily, she's in that D style too. So depending on the issue, she may not have any hesitation to share her doubts. She may be like, no. And Caitlin, you'd probably be fine with that, right? These are just suggestions. If you don't know somebody very well, this is kind of a starting place. If you know them really well, you'll know whether these work or not. The next spectrum is patient and driven. Who's patient? Who isn't? Well, it's not really that you're not patient. It's that you're more focused on driving towards results. You two, again, are very similar. Caitlin, if I was comparing you to me, you would be where you are and I would be on the dot of patient. I am infinitely patient, and that, again, would make you crazy. And the speed of lightning you're going is going to make me crazy. So we have to know that about each other. So then again, just give same information, your tendencies of each of you, tips for working together. Our next spectrum, daring and careful. You two are much closer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know, Josh, is that a hand raise icon?
It is. And now I realize it's sort of lost in my background. Sorry about that.
Sorry, I just wanted to help you out.
Oh, Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, and I'm thank you, Kristen. Sorry to jump in, Jennifer, but I don't want to, I will run out of time here in about 11 minutes. And so I wanted to just pitch in. I guess let me make an observation from having been through similar exercises. And then I'm curious to hear your take on this or other people's take. So I think this sort of an exercise is really important and really valuable for helping people be more introspective about communication habits and about as I think you've shown in your examples, how we might seem to others and how others will seem to us, and to try not to sort of be automatically inflamed by those like initial reactions. But the thing that I find slightly distracting about some of your examples and the way you talk about sort of compromise is that actually this doesn't say anything about the compromises we would reach in the substance of our work. And so I guess I really want to draw a distinction about habits of communication and deliberation on the one hand versus genuine like alignment versus genuine differences on the positions we take, our attitudes toward like the basic functions of the board, our habits of governance. And maybe there's more to add to that, but like sort of the substance of our work is really what I'm saying. So I guess I want to make sure that we don't, I don't want to extrapolate too much from this. And I just want us to be careful about the way we say compromise. Because this actually, to me, this, we should all be sort of predisposed to listen to each other, to come to positions of compromise and so on. But this will guide us in the way we communicate and the way we listen and the way we like hear people, but not so much in the substance. I don't know if you have a different attitude toward that, but I just wanted to like put that out there to clarify.
No, I think Josh is spot on. Everything that we're talking about and the comparisons and things like that, when you all have your reports, this is how I expect you to use it. When you are talking about the substantive issues, the policy making you all are going to do, and those discussions, you're inevitably going to come in, hit roadblocks where people start digging in. And that's not going to be productive unless you can break through the roadblocks. And this is designed, or hopefully helpful, to give you ideas for how can I communicate what I need, my opinion, my suggestions, my ideas about the substantive issues, in a way so that people on the board, everyone else on the board, feels heard or will listen to what I have to say. Because sometimes, and I don't know because I haven't been participating in all the meetings, obviously, but sometimes you might share an opinion. Somebody has an idea and then you share an opinion, but the way you said it or the words you chose to use, you didn't mean to, but were really hurtful or insensitive or quite disrespectful. The way you said you disagree is what destroyed the conversation. And then people shut down, or people get defensive, or people get angry. And then what are we gonna accomplish? So Josh, you're 100% right. This is just the edges to help you maneuver those conversations when you all start disagreeing. It has nothing to do with what your ideas are that you're gonna bring to the table, the positions you're gonna take. Nothing to do with that. This will not forecast any of that. It's just, how do we have that conversation? And more meaningfully, when you all are setting goals for AJ as part of her performance management, when you all have discussions about what those goals need to be, fine, but coming to terms on what those goals should be, how specific they should be, and then importantly, how you're going to communicate those goals to AJ, we need to keep some of this in mind. Because if you want her to hear them and to resonate with her as, this is going to be good for the board in general, and this is what we need from you, instead of being overly critical or having it heard a way you didn't intend, then you need to pay attention to this. Vice versa. And also, AJ needs to pay attention to how all of you receive information so that when she's there in the board meeting, she can give you what you need in a way you need to hear it. So that's what this is. This is just helping you package information when you're going to dig into those really substantive issues. But well said, Josh. I'm total agreement with you.
And since we're just on a quick pause, I know Carl also had his hand up, and I would just agree to one thing Jennifer said. You know, I hope like some of us can use this just as a jumping off point to start those conversations. And I would just say, for example, what you mentioned about how AJ delivers information, her and I are just very different styles. And so I am going to just highlight that as one area I'm really going to have to work at, and hopefully AJ and I can work together at, is our communication, because naturally it's just so opposite.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know, Carl, that was a good time.
Carl, what do you want to say?
Yeah, thanks, Caitlin. Jennifer, I want to say that I think I like what you said earlier about this not meaning to pigeonhole us or to categorize us necessarily. Because I think what's helpful out of this, because I too have done things like this, like StrengthFinders and Myers-Briggs, and it's not about what you are categorized as, but more about how you can have more effective conversations with other people. Because I hate for any of us to feel shut down or to not feel like we're getting our points across simply because we don't really understand, not even necessarily how our category tends to experience conversations or conflicts, but more just about employing different strategies to do that. And it could be that, you know, for Caitlin, I might need to present more information, or with another board member, I need to be a little bit more patient and just listen to the whole thing and not, you know, get impatient. So there are lots of, that's what I wanted to say was that, like, you know, I do see this as a useful exercise so that if, at the very least we can figure out, like, if we're not getting feeling heard or we're not doing a good job of listening to others, then we have some tools at our disposal to be able to do that.
Exactly. Exactly. So I stopped sharing my screen because there are a couple of other spectrums, but they're all self-explanatory. It just, it really is just this aha that we are approaching these two things differently. And that's why I feel like you're making me crazy. It doesn't mean you're not meeting expectations. It just means that my view of you is now a little bit more clouded. So how can we work on that so that it stops being a barrier to what the real substantive work you all need to accomplish? For sure. All right, Josh.
Yeah, and I agree with everything Carl just said as well. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you can say a little bit about a very particular communication setting, and that is in delivering feedback to, the feedback that we have to give to a general manager, right? So much of this is focused on kind of habits of communication in a deliberative group, like a team, essentially. But we have both a kind of teammate relationship with AJ, and we have more of a statutory responsibility to give feedback of particular kinds at certain intervals. And I think just because we are human beings, sometimes tendencies will drift out of kind of the interpersonal realm into the governance realm. And I'm curious if you just have observations on that note.
I do, and this is my cat who's gonna make an appearance.
Cats are always welcome by Zoom. I mean, I think that's just, if we've learned nothing else this year, we have learned that.
Cats and kids. Yes, so actually that's what I would say. When you all are gonna give feedback to AJ, whether it's in writing or it's in a group setting or it's individual, I think some of this information will be very helpful, especially like the comparison reports or the just looking at information. Even AJ, if you're willing to share your productive conflict report in whole, it doesn't really matter. But if I'm gonna coach a Caitlin or an Emily, how I write it and how I say it needs to be very specific, short, succinct, to the point here. For an I style, it's different. For a C style, lots more information and data, lots of examples. For an S style, there's gotta be more recognition of the effort that we're doing and the relationship building that we're doing, and all of these things. So I think it will be critical when it's time for you to offer feedback to AJ that we're mindful about what AJ needs. And part of that means asking AJ, what do you need from us? Because what she values and how she feels rewarded, acknowledged, heard, and accepted is different than how all of you feel those things. And if you're offering feedback based on how you would want to hear it, it won't land the way you want it to land. So it will be very helpful. And when those times come, we can always revisit this. It isn't like you have to know all the time, but I'm, you know, just sometimes you're saying things in a way that you don't mean to be hurtful and they're landing hurtful. Or they're making people crazy. Not hurtful, just, oh, I just want to rip my hair out. Not intentional, but it's happening, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I actually would just respond really quickly. Jennifer, what you just said, I think is helpful. I guess I worry a little bit about the implications of this when we drift from building good and empathetic interpersonal habits into governance, because the stuff that we do for reviews of AJ are for AJ as a person, but they're also part of like our responsibility to the public. Oh, yeah. And so it's a little bit more of a mixed bag. And so I don't want
to. May I respond to that? Josh, what I would say is my style that you see there is actually after 25 years of working on my style of communication. My style was probably more closely aligned with Caitlin's and Carl's. I was really between the yellows and the greens, but I knew that when I went into management, I need to adapt, learn, and grow. And through experience, it allowed me to align closer to the center and to have a bigger perspective. That for me to be an effective leader with massive amounts of people, like the team of professionals that I work with, I needed to change the way I actually process the information. And I think one of the important factors for the board to acknowledge is the fact that when you're speaking to me, you have a bigger audience than just me. I will tell you, there is nothing you can tell me, including about my anything personal, that I would lose 5 minutes of sleep. But what I do lose a lot of sleep is how the way the board communicates impacts my employees. Sometimes I spend hours of damage control when the board, if you saw, and I wasn't part of making the decision to do this, but I participated and I'm happy to do that because I am invested in this board and this service and this community. And what I will say is, knowing that if you're on the outer areas of your communication style, that you have a broader audience than just myself and each other, that you have an entire workforce watching you and looking to you for leadership. There's people that tonight and every night could actually be home with their families, and maybe they are, but they're on a computer listening and watching you. And they find you important because you've been appointed in this position. So I would say it's not always just about me. It's really about the leadership of 300 and nearly 50 employees who look to you as a leader. It's a whole community, and how you make them feel is how hard people work for you. And that's something I learned, and it's taken me a long time to learn because I was much more rooted in data and getting things done, but I knew that was not the path to success if I wanted to manage people. So I do find this helpful. So thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, Josh.
AJ, I think, maybe there's a misunderstanding. I think that's exactly what I was saying. There are bigger audiences beyond the individual personality. So what you just said, I think aligns exactly with what I was trying to say. You focused on the employees, and I think that's legitimate. I was focusing on the general public. That's also legitimate. Those are both audiences to whom we have specific responsibilities. And so that is exactly the point I was making. So thank you.
Perfect. Good. That's all I wanted to share. Carl.
You know, I don't feel like I'm that strong of a C, but apparently what I'm going to say next is going to betray that. But are there any studies about how a board's public language affects the audience? Because now this conversation is making me think a little more deeply about how we may be unintentionally causing problems or maybe even better, more positive way to look at it is like, how can we be more effective with our public in the way we discuss things and that things that we're missing? Because I mean, there's one thing, because we don't do things in a closed system. We are viewed and for full transparency, this is a good thing. It's just part of government. So I don't know that, sorry, long question, but.
No, I think that I don't know of any specific studies around public communications, but if I would just say, take a look at the chart again, this one, and you're right. So you are speaking to hundreds of S's and hundreds of I's and hundreds of C's and hundreds of D's and all kinds of combinations of them. So if your message to the public, you want it to resonate with everybody on some level, you do have to give some thought to that. You can't always just communicate as a D, here are our results, deal with it, without having some warm and fuzzy, you know, hug around it. Like, we appreciate and value it, whatever. We wrap that substantive message around something else to make it resonate. We provide the data, a little bit of data for the C. Here's an example. I don't know if you could do it. We could say, here's the decision of the board, and we were very mindful of these considerations. For more information, we've got it available on the website.
Right. And we may not have any strong eyes in our group, but we need to think about how our messages and language is interpreted by the eyes who are listening.
Exactly. So this page right here shows you what the priorities might be, what they're motivated are by. So when you're crafting your communication or talking, I would think about this. What are the eyes afraid of? We don't have an eye voice, a strong eye voice to tell us what they're afraid of, but let's think about what might they be afraid of, and let's make sure we address that in our reasoning or our communication.
You do have a strong D voice saying we're at the end of our time, which is me. And to those D's and I's and C's and S's and the combos, The great thing about Jennifer sharing that she's a strong S is she would love to talk to all of you more about this. If you have any more questions or anything very specific, please reach out to Jennifer. She can really do a deep dive on any of this. And thanks for what a great presentation. And I hope that this brought a little bit more just maybe clarity to each of us in our communication styles and how we can work together and work with the larger audience, as AJ said. So thank you to Jennifer, and thank you to everyone who made time to be here tonight. I really appreciate that time, and thanks for your patience and your drive and all these great things that we learned about this evening.
Thank you. All right.
Camille, what's next?
I'll log off now. See y'all later. Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.
That's it. Just, meeting. Yeah. Where's just our meeting adjourned?
Meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned. Thanks, you guys.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Have a